I'm joined by Jack Schenker in Cairo. Jack, Hamdine Sabahi suddenly in second place. How did that happen?
Well, that's a good question, Matt. It's something we're all asking ourselves, and we're certainly asking of the people who have been feeding us the poll numbers overnight. There's a lot of very bleary-eyed people, from journalists to activists, to just ordinary citizens in Cairo this morning, who have been monitoring the trickling in of these results from polling stations around the country all through the night. People are looking at the results from different sources. Ahram Online, which is the English language version of the state newspaper here, seems to have one of the most definitive updates. The problem is that they have only just added in their Alexandria votes, and Alexandria, obviously Egypt's second city and one of the most populated governorates in the country, seems to have swung quite heavily behind Sabahi, the result being that the that his vote tally has gone up substantially just in the last hour or so with those results added in. But apparently, and there's a lot of confusion, and I wish I could give you a kind of clearer answer, we're not yet sure, and it sounds ridiculous, whether the Cairo and Giza vote, Giza's the section of the capital city that's on the west bank of the Nile by the pyramids, and Cairo and Giza are obviously two of the most highly populated areas in the country, whether those results have yet been included in the tallies that we're seeing on our computer screens. All of this comes down to the fact that official results announced by the authorities won't come out until Tuesday. So what we're getting at the moment is the information from the candidates are allowed to have election monitors inside the polling stations who can monitor the counts and see how the counts are progressing, and they are reporting what's happening inside those polling stations. So we're getting a very mixed picture. No one's exactly sure what's happening, but it does seem as if, whereas a few hours ago the so-called nightmare scenario of former Mubarak era Prime Minister Ahmed Shafiq and Mohamed Morsi going through to the final runoff, it now looks as if Hamdine Sabahi, the leftist, might just be pipping Shafiq to that second place spot. But like I say, we still have to be very cautious.
He's got massive support in Alexandria. So once the results from other areas have come in, is that second place position likely to get washed away?
Well, normally you'd say, you'd imagine that Sabahi would, you'd expect Sabahi to do fairly well in Alexandria. When it comes to Cairo and Giza, it's a much more mixed picture. But what's been interesting is that a lot of the results haven't gone the way we thought they would. In Imberba, I'm standing by the Nile now, looking across at the informal neighborhood of Imberba, which is a sprawling, huge area of the city where millions of Cairenes live. And, 20 years ago, it was known as the Islamic Emirate of Imberba because it was largely controlled by extreme Salafists. The government in 1993 sent in armored vehicles to arrest certain key militants there, or people that identified as key militants. It was a huge episode in modern Egyptian history, very much seen as the secular state clashing with what had become, or what was perceived to have become, a kind of Islamic sub-state within the Egyptian capital. Now, in Berber, where you'd expect Mohamed Morsi or Abdel Monem Fattouh, the former Brotherhood member, to do very well, has voted massively for Sabahi, a very secular Nasserite leftist. Whereas, elsewhere in the Delta, in some of the Muslim Brotherhood strongholds, you've also seen places like Dakhalia and Sha'ia. These places have voted for Ahmed Shafiq. So the kind of normal rules don't seem to have applied, and all of our predictions have been thrown out the window because areas which we thought would poll well for the Islamists have gone secular. Places where we thought would be highly revolutionary, like Suez, have polled quite highly for former establishment figures, and vice versa, all over the country. So it's a very, very mixed picture.
This is a massive twist, but we could get more twists before the final results are known.
We certainly could, especially if recounts are factored in. We've already had recounts ordered of certain polling stations, and also I believe the expat vote in Saudi Arabia, which is by far the biggest voting bloc of the of Egyptians living abroad. There are claims of irregularities there, and there may well be a recount. So if things are as close as they appear to be between Sabahi and Shafiq, it's entirely possible that we won't know until Tuesday. the recount from a single set of polling stations, if the figures remain as close as they are, could really tip it in either direction. And it's worth bearing in mind that the claims of irregularities, like many other journalists, the thing I've been saying for the past few days is, yes, of course, there are individual violations at certain polling stations, there are claims of irregularities in certain areas, but there has been no systematic rigging. So as long as the vote isn't on an absolute knife edge, we can basically say that we can discount the idea that the results have been meaningfully tampered with in any way on a national scale. But if Sabahi and Shafiq are literally neck and neck for second place and say there's only a few thousand votes in it out of a population of 80 million and an electorate of 52 million, then individual claims of irregularities and electoral violations suddenly take on hugely significant importance and could well play a part in determining how this plays out on the streets, whether in the next few days when the official results are announced, we see a mobilization of people and we see protests and possibly clashes with security forces.
Okay, Jack. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Matt.